Hello, family, consciousness family. Hope everyone is doing well. And I mean that sincerely with all of the crazy stuff that's going on, all of the very intense energy that seems to be circulating. I think things are just getting more and more heightened as we move forward. And specifically from the spiritual perspective, which I think people maybe realize this now that the war that we're having is not really a war of bombs, and I mean we still have all that and killing people, but it's a spiritual war and such an exhausting thing to go through. I've been at this work my entire life, and it never ends. It doesn't just stop. So when people are like, I'm enlightened, I'm this, I'm that, I'm like, okay, I don't know if you're under psychosis or what is going on. And sometimes I'm like, dang, maybe I should be under psychosis of happiness and joy and everything's perfect, hunky dory. But as a clairvoyant, as an empath, as somebody who can feel energy, things seem to be getting very heavy, and really we're at a breaking point, man. It's almost like, especially in America, it's like this slave labor that they've put us under forever is really starting to get to people. They're just exhausted. Everybody's so exhausted, and I'm exhausted. Everything's a
I
battle.
agree.
It's like, not to say that there's not good going on for sure in the world, but I think people are just exhausted, and that's what I hear from so many people. So many emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically not doing well or feeling challenged at every level. And I think physiologically it's been such a huge burden on individual on our bodies. Physiologically, I think we're experiencing that kind of backlash of all the stuff we've carried for so long, particularly this generation. And it's a lot. It really is a
Yeah,
lot. And so,
definitely.
trying times, and how do we overcome them, right? That's what I said. How do we overcome them? Tell me what you're thinking, Pam.
My
Going.
gosh. No, I mean, you're spot on. It's exactly what I've been feeling and dealing with. I feel like winter, right? Especially looking back from the autumn equinox to now we're a week out from the spring equinox. So it feels like it's been this really long, kind of heavy season where people have been really in this underworld journey, really tried with challenges, unexpected challenges in their lives, transitional states, maybe feeling stuck and things not, shifting as smoothly and quickly as people hope for. And then with myself, like you said, it's that transmutation of the heavy, collective archetypal, like all this energy. And it's knowing that it's not my wound, right? It's knowing that it's other people's wounds, it's other people's mirroring and projecting, and just finding a space to really protect myself and my energy body and my physical, emotional, mental bodies, and doing the work to heal and clear and channel, the pure light and whatever, through Gaia's grid. Like we've talked about my experience over the past weekend up in the mountains and in the new moon energy, like just being a fish in a hot tub. But that's one thing that over the years has become a repeated theme in my own archetypal kind of, personal narrative, is that unshackling and freeing myself as, a slave to the system, right? Something that really got overpowered somewhere along the lines and is trying to, like, break free from this energetic It feels like a chess game, right? Like, I don't want to, I'm not a pawn anymore. Like, I'm going to be the queen of the board energy. Mm-hmm. And it is draining and it's exhausting. And I'm just even trying to change the narrative around like the whole battling of dark and light, you know, because that narrative's heavy. And I'm like, okay, let's try a new perspective to look at this. But thank goodness for like the violet flame and, you know, certain tools and practices that I use to help me in that transmutation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. It is the narratives that we play out. And something I always say is like, well, we're making all this shit up. You know, if you're going to make something up, make something up that's going to serve you. But it's sometimes it's hard, right, to get out of the narrative that the programming, the narrative, the historical narratives that we've been circulating under, which would be, you know, our parents or, you know, how we were raised, like we still hold on to a lot of those narratives and subconsciously don't realize it. Like we were even talking about that today, right? And it's like the subconscious and the unconscious, you know, somehow plays out without us really even, it's kind of tricky not really knowing that's what's playing out. And so it is sometimes hard to get out of those narratives of, especially when they're just over and over being thrown in your face. And whatever this other energy is, if it's a denser energy, a heavy energy, trying to maybe keep us from expanding consciousness, right? It's like stifling us or it's sucking out our energy. Sometimes it's really hard to overcome. And like you said, you have tools and changing the narrative too is really good. But then there's also that point too for me, where it's like, well, okay, is this psychosis? Because you have to face some of the challenges that do show up too. So it's kind of like that that tipping point. But I do agree with you in that we need to maybe look at these darker, I don't like to say darker, but these heavier energies that are trying to keep us sort of grounded and trapped and like in this their own twisted narratives that are like, enslavement, right? It feels like enslavement is what it feels like. It feels, and then it's like you said, it's a game of chess. Like, how do you go from pawn to queen, or how do you even throw the chessboard away and start a just different game altogether? Like, that is the question I have, because that's like, doesn't even seem, I don't even know if it's possible at this point. I mean, I think I was so optimistic as a kid. Like, when you're a kid, you're just, you know how it is. You're just like, it's going to be great. And I'm going to help change the world. And then you like the reality of the world slaps you in the face and you're like, whoa, never mind. You know? And it's like, okay, well then I'm going to save myself. And then you get slapped in the face. You're like, holy shit, this is too much. I mean, it's just a lot. But no, I like that, you know, having tools, I think, you know, cause this is like trying times and how do we overcome? And I think part of it is having tools to help move us through. I can tell you right now, I feel so stuck. I've never felt more stuck in my life than I do at this point, which is just the weirdest thing to me because, you know, I'm like, am I pushing through the most monumental time of my life where this is like, no, I wouldn't say a final test, but this is like the big grand, you know, because every chapter has this chapter, right, of like the hero's journey. Right. I know you really like the hero's journey. So where it's like, this is, oh, it's kind of funny. I'm watching once, but is this like the final battle? You know what I mean? Almost, which I don't, I mean, there's many more, but this kind of feels like it's coming to a head for me in a lot of ways, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah. And then I feel physically exhausted. I mean, to the point where I'm like, I am clawing at everything and anything to feel better. Just really kind of sucks. And I don't think we talk about that piece enough, you know? It's like, I'm spiritually great. Everything's so wonderful. But the real true exhaustion that comes with this work of your body's exhaustion, like to the point where I feel like passing out. But I have all this crap that I need to get done. I have to adult. Like, what do we do? We're just like, I can't just let it go. So,
no.
You and know, that's I where, guess like, I could just let it go.
Well, that's where the
just ego, move out, I think, from $1 million or whatever. Sorry, go ahead. What?
Yeah. No, I'm saying, but that's where like the ego really comes in and shows us, I think, our wounds and stuff, right? Because how do we treat ourselves in those moments of overwhelm when our body's saying, like, I've had enough, I need to rest. But based on culture and everything else, it's like, no, I have to keep going because I'm lazy or I'm this, or you know what I mean? So we lose compassion for ourselves. So I think it's really important to like let it go, for sure. I've had to learn to do that. I'm in the same spot, you know, like I'm ready for spring cleaning. I'm looking around here and it's like, man, didn't I just do all this? Didn't I just do decluttering? And you know what I mean? Like trying to get.
Yep. And how do you end up with more stuff?
I know. And that's the thing. I'm like, I didn't. I haven't bought things. Like, what the hell? I don't get it.
This is a real conundrum, right? That, you know, Lala should be laughing at me. What do you mean? I'm like, yeah. I cleaned out my closet. How do I have more clothes? You know, right. Which is just funny, right? But here's the deal. And I love the idea of letting go, right? Yeah. Could. You're absolutely correct. But like, I got to move. I got to pack. Like, I'm leaving the 29th.
There is no, like, you can't
just
really
hey, maybe a fairy will come pack my crap for me. You know, I have help. I will say I have friends that show up. So that's always a plus, right? Like a good friend of mine. People always show up too. So that's another thing. How do we overcome? Well, we help each other, right? And like, we pray, you know, I pray. I'm like, God, help me. Help, show me, you know, send people my way. And then, you know, mysteriously people will show up that are like just ready to help, like just fully 100% ready to help. You know, and I had a friend who's like, do you need me to go just be with you? I mean, it was just the most heartfelt thing. And she's like, and I said, you know, I don't know if I even need somebody to like help me pack, which is fine. She's going to do that when she comes here, but it's just having a person here with me. You know, I need some hand holding sometimes. I just need them, you know. Right. And it was cool. You know, and she's like, hey, I'll go. And then she said something like, you know, I can't move things, I can't carry things, but I can help you clean if you need help cleaning. And just the offer. Not even that I would take her up on her offer. I might, but the reality is like just even someone knowing that someone's there to offer that. It's such a beautiful thing. And I'm absolutely so grateful for that, you know? So I think, you know, people do show up. Aloha. people do show up, you know, in your life. And that's another way that we overcome, I think, in trying times. We got to help each other. We got to support each other, you know, especially when we're feeling exhausted and overwhelmed and just don't feel like we can carry on. You know, because I'm at that point where I'm just like, you know what? If I just go tomorrow, I am fine. I'm just like, oh, yeah, playing this game. I just want to let it all go. Just like, I don't want to do this game anymore. I'm over it. I'm done with the game.
I've been there. It's hard. You know? It's exhausting. I mean, it can feel like you're just weighed down. You know, and sometimes like there's no raft, right? There's nothing, no lifesaver coming your way at all. And, but you gotta, that's where it's all the wisdom though. I feel like has to be your anchor, you know, like all of that inner wisdom from the previous experiences. Cause you've been through this before and you know, it's going to happen again. And so it's like tapping into that aspect of what you've learned and how you can be stronger. But you're right, self-care is so truly important, and listening to the body and just knowing like your priorities, I think realistically, like obviously you're moving, so you can't, you know, that's a different priority. You've got to try and summon up that energy, right? So prioritizing.
Where's my fairy godmother when I need her? Right. Just kidding.
Right?
See, this is where psychosis comes in. I'm all, she'll show up and then it's like time to move. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you never know.
I swear a fairy godmother would do all this for me. No, it doesn't work that way. Darn it. That is not reality.
The power of miracles.
You know, but in a way, a fairy godmother did kind of show up in my friend, right? She's like, hey, I'm not going to do it all for you in a wave of a wand, but I will help you do the hard work. And I'm like, right, let's go. So in a way, it's like, it's a both and. I guess your fairy godmothers do show up in some ways, right? Your friends will. And it's weird. It's never like the people you expect, right? I always thought that that was such a weird thing, that, you know, when we are going through these hard times, even if you're like getting sick or energetically drained or whatever it is, that for whatever reason, if you really believe, and this has worked many times and people know, when you truly are like, I really need support right now, the most random people show up. It's just no one you ever expect. Right. And I think for the longest time, it was always like, oh, I want, you kind of have an idea who you think will show up, but then it's like, no, it's out of your control. You don't know what the universe is going to send to you. It's going to be the right person, the perfect person, that needs to show up for you. You know, like the other day I was sick and, you know, the individuals that were here that showed up, I was like, wow, that's very kind and compassionate. Right. Of course, Lala's here. So she's like, you need tea. So, you know, and then I was like, yes, thank you. Like that care. But then another person's like, hey, I will take soup to you. This person didn't ask for anything, literally drives across town to bring me something and didn't ask for anything in return, which is just, to me, it's like, whoa. So there's still this beauty in the world. But how do we like come together?
Well, I think that's the important thing about being open, though. You said at least, like, I want help. Like, there are so many people in the collective that can't ask for help. And being closed off to giving and receiving, right? It has to be that flow of energy to give and to receive. So absolutely. I think that's a huge first step, just to work with that energy block and to allow yourself to recognize, like, I need help. I can't do it alone. There's no shame and guilt around that, right? Because I think that's a huge emotion consequence that we all feel. But yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful when you can open up so wide for to receive from the universe, like you said, that it's unexpected ways, it's new possibilities that would have never been there before when your heart and your mindset, you know, is closed off. So I agree.
Absolutely.
That's a powerful, powerful state to be in.
I agree. It's asking for support and being able to receive support. That is huge too, especially for a lot of women. Like, that's our natural essence, should be to receive, to, you know what I mean? And in the feminine quality, it is that, right? It's like that giving, receiving, but also receiving is a very feminine quality. It's like opening up. And sometimes we're just like, we don't even know how. That's crazy to me. It took me a long time. For sure, because of like, oh, I'm a burden, or I'm too much, or I'm asking too much, or why would they want to help me? Or, you know, feeling like I have an obligation to do something if they're going to help me, or, you know what I mean? And it's like, oh, but really, people genuinely show up and care. They're like, no, I'm here to support you when I can, right? In ways that I can. And I think that's such a, like, just, you know, it's the beauty of humanity when we're all like that, I think we would be in such a state where we're just like, oh, so exhausted of like people taking and taking. I mean, and by people or by them, or by the, it's government, right? It just takes and takes. They're takers, man. They are takers now.
Yeah.
They're taking too much.
Well, I would say as a mom, I've experienced it with my children too. God. I definitely have felt that. Yes. Like,
your
they
kids
take
are like
and
the
they
government.
Take.
Children are like the government. They take and take and take.
They take and they take, but at what point can you give back? You know, so that's been some energy work and healing around that, but for sure. But I think even in plant medicine, I've had some beautiful experiences. Actually, when I was on ayahuasca and I was dealing with my masculine energy, and I had to ask for help, especially you think about like the masculine who's so strong and protective, you know, and is supposed to be the productive, you know, energy space. So in that sense, I was drawn towards this woman, who is very kind and sweet, very fiery, kind of angelic. Like, we had talked previously, she had three sons, so we had already connected as moms. So in that ceremonial healing space, when I needed to go for help and ask, I felt like I struggled, but yet I did it because that was my ego death. Like, to be able to work through it. And I remember just hugging her and crying and being like, thank you. Like, I, you know, this is hard for me, but I needed to be able to ask for just a glass of water or just, you know, whatever it was. But I felt like that burden, like you said, but it so deeply healed some of my masculine energy that I was able to then, after that ceremonial space, you know, continue with the integration and doing the work, that again helped me shift and open up. Because my thing is, as a feminine, I have pleaded for help. I have cried. I have begged. I have had tears gushing, asking for that help. And the masculine has been like, no. You can't. I am not reliable. I'm either going to screw it up or I'm not going to follow through. You know what I mean? Or just go YouTube it and figure it out on yourself. So I had no masculine energy I could rely on so for me, learning to ask for help and receive help with those wounded energies, it was a big lesson and it took time. So I definitely hope people out there, you know this work isn't done overnight. You know, it's been years and years of daily dedication. But it does get to a point where we get through it and we are able to get to the other side and be transformed in the process.
Absolutely. And I think that that's a beautiful example, you know, of what needs of a healing process, really, that happens, because it is uncomfortable at first.
Yeah.
And it is scary. For sure.
Yeah.
And then also after the fact of like processing, and it's so sad that we're like that, right? Because, well, I mean, you would think about it, we're an individualistic society, right? Where collectivism has kind of been out. And like, I'm trying to figure out what is the balance between those two types of structures, because we do need our individual, you know, we need to individuate, we need to have our identity, we need to know our divine purpose, but we also need to do that collaboratively. So I think they offer both, you know, but they all have shadows, of course, that there's, you know, we can sit there and we can say, glamorize, romanticize collectivism, but then there's a lot of shadow there too, that we're not willing to do as well. But also in the individualistic societies like America, it's like, oh, you know, they have their individual life, but then also we're like, now we're screaming for support from one another, and nobody's, you know, I'm not gonna say nobody, but generally it's like competition, dog eat dog. Right. You know, that's been the model we've been living by for so long in America. That's what, you know, we know. It's competition. It's, now I'm not saying competition is not good, or, you know, neither's right, wrong, good or bad, but there has to be this healthy balance. And I think we're leaning too far to this individualistic mindset, and it's weighing on people, because now we're like, not, we're afraid to even ask for support, you know, from one another. Yeah. And that shouldn't be a narrative that we have, you know. Should be, I have a little bit more I can support, and we should be able to feel like I'm worthy of that. I'm not, you know, it's not that. And then also on the same token, there shouldn't be too much of, you know, receiving and not giving back. So it's a synergy of give, receive, give, receive, give, receive, give, you know, give or taker is what we call it. But, you know, we can take and we can also give, you know, when we can. Which is just a model I just never understood how we don't live by that model anyway, right? In a lot of ways, especially capitalist for sure, because there's a lot of waste, I think. Anyway, that goes into like bigger narratives and stuff. But I think if we learn to do this with each other, right, by example, to really love each other and connect And before I'm sending this to you, like, Bray, thank you for being on here, by the way. I wanted to get into it, and then I'm like, oh, I want to say these things. But we are doing a women's circle on April 19th at 7 Eastern time. If you want to join, you are more than welcome. You can just go to womenofconsciousness.com and sign up to our email subscription. And then when we have that going on, we can send out that information to you. Or you can email us directly at womenofconsciousness@gmail.com, and we can send you that information if you're interested in joining the women's circle. So something we want to do just to kind of gather for women who are, you know, seeking self-love, empowerment, all that good stuff. Sacred ceremony done virtually.
Yeah.
So in a collective spiritual circle, I don't know. So learning how to call in the, as Raven had said, I guess she was doing a circle, sacred circle. The one who reads my cards, my oracle reader. She was like, you know, we were talking about this goddess stuff and everybody was like, oh, technology. And she's like, I think we need to call in the gods of technology into our circle so things don't get, because that's the way we're going, you know? So they did it. They called it in. You know what I mean? She's like, and then everything went perfect. She's like, and then technology was good. It was called into the circle. It's a consciousness. So anyway, little off topic, but yeah. So if you want to, what I'll do is, I'll send the, let me put it in here.
Yeah, I've definitely Hermes with his retrograde technology issues. I've had some conversations with the gods for sure. So that's awesome. But I think that's what we're missing too, right? Some of that heavy energy we feel talking about archetypes and whatnot. Like the gods are missing, right? The spirit in its own essence is missing from the mundane. And that comes with that heavy burnt out void that people are feeling. Waking up and doing the same thing day in and day out is just not.
No.
It's fulfilling to some extent, but you know, there's that lack, there's something else. And I know for me personally, looking at like my life before and then looking at it now, there were times when I was really tested in the heaviness, and I remember fighting, you know, because I definitely will yell back at the universe when I disagree with what's happening. And there was a really, really painful moment where I was like, I'm done. I'm going to walk away. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. Okay, maybe my soul wants to experience this, but on some point, like, my ego did not accept this mission and is now declining and is turning my back. And I think maybe I was stubborn for about a week. But the pain of walking away from myself. I think so, because like the pain of walking away, because I was like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do any spiritual practices. I'm not going to listen to the downloads. I'm not going to do, you know what I mean? I was like, I'm done with the spirit realm. You want it? I'm just going to be human. And I couldn't, like, there was so much pain in me that I couldn't turn my back on my gods and goddesses. Like, I couldn't turn my back on, you know what I mean? The energy that I work with and the elements and the ceremonies that I do. Like, I had such a void and so much was missing. Even though I was just trying to be stubborn and prove a point, but it was totally egoic, you know, healing that needed to happen. Because of course it was twin flame stuff, you know, and it gets pretty painful. And I was like, well, I'm done. I don't want to, like, I didn't sign up for any of this. I'm done.
Yeah.
But
funny. You're like, it was just a week. Some people turn their life, their face away from it for long periods of time. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm glad it was just a week and that we're here today talking about this stuff, you know, because it is hard. And I think too, when I say the podcast of trying times is not just trying times. It's on all domains, man. I'm serious. Yeah. It's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. Mm-hmm. It's all of them are being totally just like snuffed out. It's like, you just obey and do what I say, you know, and it's the system we've co-created. you know, humanity, it's some, it emerged for a reason the way it did, like this emergence mm-hmm. of the United States. There was some intention behind it, of course, but it is historical that the narrative started in ancient times. And now I think we're at the pinnacle of what that kind of the twisted narrative that started in ancient times. That's what I would say. Sort of the symbolism and all that. We're at a head right now where it's really overwhelming people in all ways. And so it's really hard because we're not just dealing with this energy at a spirit, because it is a spiritual battle for sure, but we're going to experience that physiologically. The more and more you look at humanity, especially here in America, people don't feel good. They have chronic pain. I mean, this is all, it's all interconnected. And you know, I do nutrition and I don't feel good. And even as a nutritionist who eats right, I don't drink, I don't do anything. The worst that I do is coffee. I make most of my meals, I'd say about 98% of the time I eat at home. That's a high percentage. So I know where I'm getting my food. I'm cooking it and I'm still waking up feeling like shit. Like that, there's something wrong there. It doesn't match up, right? Working out. So I do kung fu. So when you're taking care of the physical aspects of your life and you're still waking up feeling terrible, something else is going on, right? So it's like, well, okay, is it spiritual? Let me look at my spiritual life. Let me look at my emotional life and see where that's at. But it's all together. And I think we sort of silo these things out and we don't look at it like holistically from all of those aspects, you know? And even when I would say like looking at, because like, how do we overcome, right? Well, you've got to look at it. What is your body telling you? I personally am saying, okay, what do I need to do to support my body? Maybe spiritually and emotionally I'm drained, but how can I support my body? Maybe I can't control what's happening to me emotionally at this point. I mean, emotions aren't supposed to be, they're irrational. They're not rational. You can't rationalize emotions. They just are, right? They live within us. So I can't really control
that. The energy that just coming
out. Yeah. And so, okay, spiritually, my spirit's going to do what the hell it wants. You know, the ego, I might be able to tell the ego to shut up a little bit, but what can I control? I know I can control what I put in my face and I know I can check my blood work. And I always tell people too, like, that's another way to overcome is to start there, because people don't realize that nutrition and health is a connection to how we feel and the way we perceive life itself as well. So for instance, vitamin D, when it's low, which we all suffer from vitamin D deficiency, is that when your vitamin D is low, depression is there. And people don't know that, because people say, well, I'm just depressed. And the first thing I'm like, have you got your blood work done? Like, just go get your blood work done just to make sure that all of these things are optimal. Because they really kind of, well, if you think about it, we're cells. So we can go into the whole scientific, we're cells, we vibrate, right? Our mitochondria need to be all that stuff. So I'm not going to go into the whole nutrition thing. However, if our bodies aren't supported to receive these light codes, right? If we are not taking care of the vessel that we hold this information, we're going to feel shitty. So I feel like, okay, well then I'm probably not doing a good job at nutritionally. And what the hell are they putting in our food? Because if I'm eating by myself and I'm receiving all of this emotional download, my body should be able to handle it, but it can't. And so I feel overly drained. There's adrenal fatigue. I mean, we see so many women going through this right now. It's adrenal fatigue. You know what I mean? We're seeing women having gastric issues. We'll see women having anxiety or high cortisol levels, you know, and even men too are going through this. And so we're like, well, what do we need to do? You can control what you put in your mouth. And that's a way that I try to overcome. Like now I'm going to be trying this cleanse that is a healthy cleanse, not a just drink a bunch of juice cleanse, because that would not work for me. But it allows you to eat and stuff like that, but a cleanse for my body. So my cellular body can vibrate to receive the light codes that need to come in, to receive the sun's energy, to receive this cosmic energy that's trying to express itself through my vessel. And that's a way to that I can control. I you know, so that's kind of what I look at. And those are ways that I overcome. And I think a lot of what you were saying in terms of you is like this ritualistic stuff. But honestly, nutrition and health are so critical because we have been given this divine vessel. And we have to purify it the best that we can, because our cells are vibrating on a frequency, right? The mitochondria, all that stuff. And if our cells aren't healthy, how can you receive the things that you need to receive? You're not going to be able to, right? Yeah. Our bodies won't be able to handle it. You're going to get spiritually exhausted, emotionally exhausted. You're going to feel like you can't go on. So, you know, taking care of the vessel is a big way to overcome these trying times as well, is to really, really take care of yourself, drink enough water, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you are an individual who's like, well, I like to have drinks or whatever, you know, that doesn't make you wrong. But you also got to say, well, how is this contributing to the well-being of my body, right? Some people can handle it. I can tell you I'm very sensitive. I can't do all that stuff. I'm already too sensitive. My body's too sensitive to too many things to begin with. So I personally can't indulge in any of that stuff. But other individuals may be able to, right? And so, you know, it's not like cut your life off for sure. But it's also, if you are feeling that way, you need to ask yourself if some of the lifestyle is contributing to that feeling too. Yeah. And how can you switch the lifestyle? Which is like, that's like a whole other thing. But, you know, I know for me, that's kind of what I'm doing to try to overcome it, because I feel so emotionally drained. I literally the other day in my gut, right? I'm like, what is going on with my gut? That's our other brain. It just kind of like, it didn't hurt, but I started to feel very lethargic, like I was going to fall asleep and pass out. And it wasn't a sugar low, but something in my gut wasn't right. And I started to want to fall asleep. Like I thought I was going to pass out. And I'm like, what is going on with me? You know what I mean? And then I'm like, oh, I have all this emotional baggage, this spiritual stuff that's going on, my ego, all the things. And I'm exhausted. So I'm like, okay, well, let me see if I can get my body to start working properly so that I can start receiving these DNA codes. Like even people talk about DNA, RNA, well, we can change it. But if you're not doing things actively to help your body to receive these light codes, you know, you're not going to be able to, because your body, your vessel isn't purified to receive that information.
Right.
So kind of like, it's kind of like the heaviness. And so I'm at that place too, because I know I'm not receiving the things that I need to. So really working at that. But, you know, I did want to talk about the nutrition, because I know that's something that we can do. And also, like Pam was saying, the rituals that she's doing, those are things we can control too. You know, meditation, all the other things that come in, soaking in a hot tub, getting a massage.
Yeah.
Those are all good things you can control too, but they're all to help the body, right? The body to kind of purify itself to receive this energy.
Well, that's why I've told you, like, I went vegetarian years ago, literally like overnight. I mean, I tried going vegan and threw myself into like psychosis. I mean, I was in the grocery store freaking out at all of the labels, all the ingredients. Like I was having panic attacks. My daughter was just like, what the hell's wrong with you? You know what I mean? And it was just overnight, because I had been doing the work, and it just like, right, my body just could no longer, didn't want it, completely rejected it and sent me into psychosis for a minute until I like learned to like, I don't know, find a diet, not a diet, but just to find what worked for me that my body could handle and what it wanted. Cause the body definitely lets us know too, right? What it needs and what it wants. And I think we're so used to being dissociated from our bodies Mm-hmm. That we have no idea what nutrients it's lacking. We have no idea what trauma it's holding on to, because the body, it holds in right in the cellular memory, like you said, trauma wounds. Mm-hmm. So it, like we were talking this morning, you know, uncovering more layers and more layers, because we're always going to have levels of wounds, right? No one will ever be 100% healed. You know, there's not one person walking on this planet who's healed in any capacity. So
are we live forever, for sure, right?
Right. You wouldn't be on this planet. You'd be somewhere else already. You know, you'd be an ascended master somewhere else. Like, that's where we're all evolving to. It's to learn, right? All of that stuff. But for sure, like, that's why we're here. We're here to, you know, face what it means to be human, to grow and evolve, and to do all of this work. You know, I think it's also too, like, knowing what works best for us and then putting time aside and doing that rather than not making ourselves a priority. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of us, I think it's family, it's friends, it's commitments to work or school, sports, whatever, you know, but where's the commitment to ourselves for our own mm-hmm. personal development and our own growth? I don't know that that's a priority in our collective too much.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. I think it's funny because I watched this video. So good. It's like, and the girl, my sister sent it to me because, of course, her and I are always talking about, you know, this trauma that we hold from our parents and all this stuff. And she said, you know, she talked about how there's this weird dynamic between boomers and maybe even Gen X and their children, the relationship they have with their children, and that, you know, millennials and all that stuff, you know, in kind of our age range, right, where we're at, are like mm-hmm. just over the let's sweep it under the rug traditions and being guilted yeah. into these ways. Mm-hmm. And she's like, we're just over it. We're done. We just don't want to do this anymore. And we're not going to sit at the table, pretend things are okay when they're not, you know, and it, but it's yeah. so hard because that's like, that's again exhausting, you know, and that's why we're in these trying times too, because we're starting to stand up and question, and we're starting to say we want something different. We're exhausted. We're over, you know, all of yeah. these. Let's pretend, you know, that everything is okay, sweep it under the rug, and then we show up for Christmas and smile and act like everything's good, and then, you know, go on with your day.
But nobody even wants to be there. They're all moaning and groaning to show up. Can't wait to leave.
I'm tired
again next year.
To go to church. Like, I ain't going to church. Like, I'm being guilted to like sit at the table and, no. you know, and have no. these dinners. That's and attend, you know. And so I think we're calling forth an authentic reality of what this dense energy is telling us. Because the energy has been here forever, but we, especially in America, we sweep it under the rug and we act like it doesn't exist. And then that's been our demise. That's a problem because it's going to scream at us louder. Like, I'm here.
Right.
I don't know what you're thinking. I'm not going anywhere. And so, right. so it's like, how do we, you know, really look at it? It's exhausting. And that's probably a lot of the reason why too, because we've never given it a space and a place. We've merely acted like it doesn't even exist. We're like, nah, this yeah. doesn't exist. Let's just pretend that, you know, the father wasn't an abuser. Let's just not even talk about how, you know, he beat mom or, you know, and all these things. And we're just like, what? Or let's just, oh no, I never did that to you. You know, the parents not taking personal responsibility for their actions. We see that a lot with yeah. this generation. And it's really, and then on the other spectrum, I do see how it's hard for these parents. You know, I think my dad is like, Natalie, I'm 70 years old. And I'm like, okay, you're right. So there's some fairness there too, in that they are afraid to face their own shadow because, I mean, God, they're older now. You know what yeah. I mean? That's a lot of stuff they have to face. And I think we're naturally have been trying to face it with little doses throughout our life. And so we're yeah. not just,
we're taking the little shots, you know what I mean? And I'm over here handing my my dad the entire tequila bottle and telling him to drink it, you know? It's like, it would be like totally like, you know? But in those tiny instances, it's really hard. And I think that's a lot of the reason too, that we are facing these things, you know, and it's just, I think our generation has been handed a tough, tough situation. And mm-hmm. I wonder, you know, I feel for the generation after us and the ones that come after us, because we're trying to untangle this stuff. I mean, we're the trailblazers of untangling all of this stuff, which is like, we have the hardest job of all right now. You know what I mean? Our age range, our spiritually woke people. It's a very heavy lift, you know, that we're doing. I think we should give, you know, honestly, just right now, I'm like, God, we should give ourselves credits for doing the work. So, you know, anyone who's out there who listens to this, that's, you know, in this era, be kind to yourself, because the things that we're dealing with are not easy during this era. The things that we're having to face are not easy. And I know that we're having to face them so that the next generation can have some hope for their future. You know, that's what we're trying to do, is instill this hope for the future generations. Because honestly, you know, I could say we're maybe at, I would say we're half life, you know, we're at half life. We're at the midlife perhaps.
Yeah.
We have a whole life ahead of them. You know what I mean? And so it's like, how much of a legacy can we leave for these kiddos? We have to be able to overcome our shit. I mean, we're the hope for the next generation. I mean, and that's such a heavy burden for our generation to carry. And I don't know that the generations before us really get the burden that we're carrying right now. I don't think they truly understand what we're carrying. I mean, you think about them. They were all peace, love, and they were able to just be free and half naked and smoking weed and freedom.
I know.
You know,
I know. I wonder, like, where are the grandparents of the 60s? Like, where have you gone? Where is that revolutionary?
They were so busy partying. They felt liberated that they were partying, and they left their kids to be latchkey kids. That's what they did, and they don't want to admit it. You know what I mean? The majority of them were out there partying. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's just be real. Yeah. They were doing cocaine, smoking weed, and you know, love, peace, and. Let's do it up.
The system, like, don't give it to
it. Yeah, let's fight the system. And they, you know, and then they kind of got stuck there partying, thinking, and then I thought that was the way. And so I was just this latchkey kid. Plus we had the industrial era where it's like these women starting to go to work and feel liberated and, you know, and then the home got all messed up because women used to stay home with the kids. And so then now we had mom, dad both working because of the American middle class dream and the big house and all the things they sold us during that time. And, you know, and then so now no one's in the home to really take care of the kids. And on the weekends, the parents are just wanting to party. And it's just it's crazy. You know what I mean? Like they live. Let's just say this. They were able to live it up. As much as they say it was hard, it wasn't hard. They were living the life. They were, even though they were fighting and protesting, you know, this opening up a business was so easy. There was money floating around. The economy was starting to be stimulated. You know what I mean? It's like they were living it up. They were living it up. They did not see any of what we're going through now coming. And now we're like, okay, now we're paying for your party.
Right. Every generation is just suffering for the generation before.
You know, so we're paying for the party, you know, and I don't just mean with money. I mean, we're paying spiritually, emotionally, the trauma that was circulated during those times. We're paying the price now, you know.
Oh, God. And I'm sure is with all the resources.
Oh God, for sure. It's just woof, you know, it's just woof. Yeah. It was
like,
you know, but I mean, look at it. Look at the 70s, the 60s, 70s, you know, even in the 80s, 90s.
Yeah. So there, you know, oh my God, I loved growing up in the 90s. Are you kidding me? Like, it was the best. I'm so glad that I did. Like, after 9/11, like, life was so transformed. It hasn't been the same. And then all of the technology. And so I'm so grateful for, like, that 80s and 90s time period that I was able to experience.
Yeah. So we know what the good feels like, but we know what the bad feels like. And this generation, they just are like, man, I feel bad. I just feel really bad. I'm like, wow. Because I can feel it. I can imagine what they're feeling. You know what I mean? Because the economy is gone to hell, basically. You know, it's like, doesn't matter if they get out and work. Yeah. They know that if they work, they still can't make a living. And that's weighing on them. And that's why they don't want to get out and work. And it makes sense. I mean, I can totally understand from that perspective, right? They wouldn't want to. So, but I think, you know, the trying times and how we overcome them, I really think our generation is the generation that has a heavy lift. We have a heavy burden to take on, you know, to help this generation coming up. And it's exhausting. It is. So if you guys feel exhausted, don't worry. Everybody's feeling exhausted.
Right.
I don't know if that makes you feel better. I hope it does. It might make you feel worse. Sorry. But, you know, together we suffer, right? And that's what compassion means. Compassion means together we suffer, by the way. If you didn't know the etymology of the word, pam, which is together, and pati, which is suffering. So compassion, right? Compati. Anyway, if you look up the etymology, you'll know what that means. But we are kind of suffering together in this new era, and taking on these heavy burdens, and it's exhausting. So, you know, just know you're not alone. And you know that we Women of Consciousness is really here to, you know, kind of support those individuals. We are trying to create a community of individuals, new narratives and stuff like that. But again, it's not easy because this is historical stuff that's, you know, arising, and, you know, it's ripping at the seams. So who knows what's going to bust out or come busting out of it. But at least we're trying to burst out in a harmonious kind of way, right? If we're the volcano, we're just trying to be the lava that flows down the side of the volcano and not the eruption. Or maybe we'll be the eruption. Right. Who knows? I don't know. I think the eruption's more of a... I know. But I think the eruption is like the collective just busting out and being like, I can't do this anymore.
I agree.
And I feel for those.
And that's the thing, talking about like technology and where we're at today too. It's like the lack of imagination, the lack of, you know, being with the body and self-awareness, because when you're just outside in the external on a phone and stuff like that, you know, how much internal work is happening, how much self-reflection is happening, how much are people really analyzing their emotions and their mental state and their triggers, you know, or are they just going, you know, rejecting those emotions and going to social media and lashing out, or, you know, going on their phone and just finding distractions, as well as, you know, other things like you had talked about earlier, right? The substances that impact the body as well as the mental state, because it's easy to find coping mechanisms that numb us out. When it does get way too heavy of a burden to deal with. So there's always like some sort of escapism that maybe isn't beneficial because it's not bringing any actual healing, although it feels like it's healing in the moment because the weight of it all is lifted and you're not, you know, paying attention to it. But at what cost ultimately? Because I feel like that's when it does become the volcano, right? When you ignore it and ignore it, it just builds quietly in the subconscious until one day it erupts and festers and then spews out everywhere. And who knows what damage you cause by then, you know, that's too late to maybe heal and clear. So yeah, it is, it's definitely crazy time period in this insane asylum that we're all experiencing, right? And then, like you were talking about the collective shadow, which I know we've done episodes on that before, and I think that's the thing too, where we can't ignore the shadow anymore. It's just too much for those who are doing the work, you know, like there's no ignoring it. You have to go through it and embrace it and integrate it. And so the more that we do that, where we're, you know, transmuting, it's going to bring more shadow, more, you know, heavy energy. That's like, okay, well, if you cleared and healed that, here's another way for you to clear and heal. And it just continues and continues. So it's like, if you're not having the self-awareness around what the waves are bringing, right, you could end up drowning in them.
Oh, for sure. Ugh. Yeah. Tell me about it. It's a lot, you know, it is a lot. Yeah. And I like the idea of, like, you know, grounding into your body. Like somatic work is so critical for overcoming, you know, a lot of the issues that are coming in. Like we have to feel into our body. You're absolutely correct. Because what happens when we don't, and if we do numb out with social media, is that eventually our body starts to yell at us too. So the volcano can happen even inside, right? Where it's like, oh, now I'm trying to get your attention and you have to listen. You don't have a choice at this point. And our body will speak louder. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's, you know, maybe, and that could be part of it too, even in discussing this, is that maybe there are things that I was avoiding looking at with social media, because social media did become a big crutch for me and a big, an addiction that I was like, man, I know I'm addicted. So that's like the first step, right? But I've known it for a while. And how am I, you know, I need a social media anonymous. I mean, I'm going to create all these anonymous groups, man. I'm telling you, social media anonymous, like it's been 5 seconds since I've been off social media. You know what I mean? It's like the time is going to be so low. But I do, now that I'm like looking at my health and stuff, I do feel this resentment towards social media in some way. Right. And it's probably just a place that I can put my anger, which is like, I'm resentful of it because I feel like I've wasted a lot of time, right? Which, you know, time is important to me. Just kind of numbing out to social media doesn't feel rewarding, though, in the end. There's this underlying feeling of disappointment in myself around it.
Yeah.
And this emptiness that surfaces. Because it's not filling a void. You know what I mean? It's an external thing.
Right.
And it doesn't fill my cup either. That even now it's been, I've been disgusted by social media in a lot of ways where I'm just like, and it's not even disgust at what's on there. You know, I have, my social media is never ridden with like people being hateful and stuff. It's all these like positive memes, and that's great. But I'm like, how many positive memes can I possibly read in a day? You know, go read a book, Natalie. That's what I tell myself. Go read a book or go outside and go for a walk. You know what I mean? And do these things. And so I think social media has been really, I'll be on there for a little bit. And then I'm just totally like, ugh, grossed out. It's starting to gross me out in a lot of ways. And
there's so much hatred, you know, and negativity too. And like everyone trying to kind of do the same thing in a sense when it comes to like the business stuff, you know what I mean? And so it feels like a lot of competition, I think, in some ways, or you go and you look at something and then it's all in your advertisements for marketing. So it's like, you know what I mean? You get all this stuff directed towards you. Like you can't escape like the whole, you know, system of it with the algorithms and the, you know, the lack of privacy for sure. I've done a lot better in the last few weeks. Being out there with you helped for sure. And since I've come back, so I barely have been touching my phone. So I'm really grateful for that, because I do notice when I'm around like my friendship groups and then I'm not and I'm home, I'll tend to touch my phone more because like I know that's the link to connection because everybody is on the other end doing whatever, posting their stuff. So I totally understand like how it kind of draws you in subconsciously for connection. But then when you look at all the crap that you're really interacting with, it's not even worth it because what kind of connection are you really getting? I'd rather just call you on the phone and talk to you.
Yep. I'm at that phase too. I'm like old school calling people and having chats on the phone. Like that's something that I'm like, I'd rather just talk on the phone. And I do, I have a few people I'll just talk on the phone, chat with, whatever. It doesn't particularly, cause like I said, I don't get a lot of negative stuff on my Facebook. So I don't ever get like, look at all this sad. It's more of a Natalie not living her full potential and letting this kind of overtake her and not feeling like I don't have control, which is not a really, that's not a good feeling whatsoever. And, you know, not feel like you said the connection, is it really connection? Like who am I really reaching? And I have to change that narrative and that mindset where it's like the people that I want to reach, I know will be in my immediate circle and then word of mouth more than, you know, social media, even though we will do social media, for women of consciousness, you know, is it about getting the numbers or is it more about serving the people and truly having that connection, right? Because it's such a individualistic way to see life. I mean, the one thing I do is like nutrition stuff for sure. You know, I'll get on there and do nutrition stuff and talk about feeling how I feel in my journey nutritionally and hopefully help people. But beyond that, there's no reason for me to be on it. There's just absolutely no reason to be on, I mean, to connect for what? Like you said, you know, get on the phone and call somebody and communicate that way. And then I want to be with people in a community, you know, and that, you know, with individuals who are on the same path that I'm on, right? And so I think that having that, you know, as I move, I think is going to be the big thing, you know? So that's another thing. It's like surrounding yourself with a community of individuals who are wanting to co-create, or even you can have a good conversation with and they put their phones away and it's just you and you're with them. You know what I mean? Like, so one thing that I'm the same way. If I'm with people, my phone, it disappears because I really, what I'm looking for is connection at the end of the day. I'm not looking for anything else. People are looking to numb out. Maybe, I guess it would be numbing out maybe loneliness because if with connection, right? It's like, I got to sit with myself too, be able to sit with myself. But I think people will use it for other means. Like it could be for, you know, they're angry or they're this or that, like you said, and they're trying to put their emotions in there. You know, I think for me, it's more like, let me find a community and connect. And it's such an artificial way to connect. But it's such a habit, you know, than meeting people in person and being around them, which is something that I get to overcome, you know, is like being with people, being in community with individuals, you know, and I'm working on it. You know, it's not been easy for me to do that. I've been pretty like a hermit, you know, and it's not healthy. You know, it's not, I need to get out. I need to move. And I know that moving is going to be a step in the right direction. And that's a big piece of it too. So that, you know, these individuals, who are in nature and you know what I mean? You know, they're at one with nature. They're doing, you know, I have a community of people who are, I can connect with all the time, you know, kind of like if we were in the same area, we would be connecting all the time. You know what I mean? We'd be having coffee, having conversations, having tea, you know, talking about business stuff, collaborations and all that kind of stuff. But so, you know, I think with individuals, like that's it, you know, it's just, we have a lot, there's a lot of different, it's not just one thing that's like, trying to hold us down. There's so many things and that's what makes it so hard. And that's why there are trying times because we're being hit with so many things all at once in so many different ways.
Layers and layers.
So much. It's just so much. Yeah. I mean, I feel for the collective because I know if I'm feeling it, a lot of people are feeling it. It just makes my heart just cry, I guess is what is the best way to say it. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of like sadness there because it's like we should be able to live this beautiful, joyous life and everybody's just hustle, hustle, hustle to the breaking point, you know, mentally.
Yeah.
And then it is breaking us physically because even though these jobs may not be like physical outside, the mental stuff, then we start eating unhealthy and then nobody's healthy. You know what I mean? So it's just like this, it's just, it's hard. There's a lot going on. But to overcome, find community, people you connect with, minimize your social media if you can. It's very true. Know your body, get back into your body somatically, and then nurture your body the way that it can, because that's something that you can take care of. And get your blood work checked. I always tell people do that. See if you're deficient in anything and make sure that you get all the vitamins and nutrients you need so that your cells are happy. That's what I'm going to be doing. So that's how I'm overcoming my stuff, right? Is just focusing on the body and then focusing on my relationships. And I think right now that's kind of where I'm at. Yeah.
Yeah. Self-care for sure is so important. I know with me, I'm definitely very much aware of where we are energetically in the cycle, as you would know, right? Pam's always, but I'm not trying to track the cycles. I just know. But the eclipse is. Maybe. So I'm hoping that the eclipses will close out since the fall, the energy that has been the past 6 months or so. So I'm definitely feeling some new beginnings. We're a week out, you know, from spring here in the Northern Hemisphere. So extremely feeling that, like the seed, right? The seed about to be planted and rooting. I can't wait to see what I blossom into this year.
I love that. Yeah. What are we blossoming?
Yeah, there's a lot of heavy. Yeah.
What are we blossoming? Lots of stuff.
Very beautiful, beautiful. We've planted
a lot of things. I know. Hello, yes.
But doing the work, right? Even if we don't want to, even when we cry and bitch and complain, I didn't sign up for this. Still showing up and doing the work.
That's right.
I think that's the most important thing, really, is self-love and self-empowerment by, you know, working through your triggers and your wounds. To, like you said, it's about our own potential as human beings. We all have shadows and we all have golden shadows, and we just need to do the work and excavate what's within and integrate and, right, keep stepping into our potential to be better and more self-aware. So that we can live from compassion and empathy, because misery loves company. And apparently compassion, you know, how did you say it was suffering together? So I guess I'd rather have compassion than misery.
Yes. Let's have compassion. Let's suffer together. together we suffer. But I mean, and that's the Buddha, right? That's like compassion is the way out, right? It's like having compassion and all that stuff. So so we thank you for being here. It's a little over an hour. We thank you for being here today. We're gonna be doing Goddess Circle, so if you do want to reach out to us, please do womenofconsciousness.com, or you can go to our Instagram or Facebook at Women of Consciousness. And if you have a message, we also do oracle readings, life coaching. We're focusing right now on women who are feeling like they constantly are chasing after love or chasing after career or chasing all this stuff, and who are ready to actually sit still and find the love within themselves and love themselves and empower themselves, instead of chasing or thinking that they need something outside themselves to be whole, perfect, and complete. and really focusing on that inner goddess. So we are going to be doing the goddess circles to start. Please show up. We will send you the link if you're interested. You can subscribe to our email list on our website, and then we can send you that information. And if you have any questions, you can also email us as well at womenofconsciousness@gmail.com. And anything else, Pam?
No, I don't think so. It was a lovely show as always. Just really grateful that I have you as a support system, for sure, as we get through some of this heavy energy together.
Yes. Together. Awesome.
Together.
Have a good day. Yes, together. Yeah. Have a good day, yeah. Guys.
Bye, everyone.